Okay, a little. I said I wasn't going to do anything on quantum computing, but we did have a little good question come through, which was going back to the hexagonal chips and square chips. And to remember, I was talking about 120 pi. So in this broadcast, what we're going to be looking at is, how we broadcast these signals and build that broadcasting function actually into the structure of our CPUs. Yeah, just so you can be clear about how that happens. So, you know, like I said, normally when you look at a CPU, it's normally constructed on a square grid. And so let's just think about that, right? Yeah. If you draw a dot, and let's say we have plus one, minus one in the vertical, plus one, minus one in the horizontal. And what you can see is it adds up. So you see, look, plus one, minus one, so that's zero. Plus one, minus one, that always equals zero, yeah? And so what you get out of that is, you know, really, is that going to be zero? Or if I change the one on one of those things, then it comes out of balance and suddenly it becomes a one, yeah? So actually, even in computer code, there are different ways that I can take that zero, if you think about it, and make it a one. I could change any one of those two positives to a negative, and that would change the zero to a one if I just change any one of those four. Yeah, so there's four ways there, isn't there? I can change the one just by changing one of the four. And if I change two out of the four, what's going to happen is it's going to look like it hasn't changed. Yeah, that's right. It won't look like it's changed at all because it'll just be negative. It could be negative, negative, couldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it could be positive and positive, positive on the other side. And that would like equal two, yeah? Positive plus positive, negative plus negative. But overall, because two would be plus two, and the other one would be minus two, it'd still be zero, wouldn't it? So into conventional mathematics, we just see it as zero, yeah? But in fourth-dimensional mathematics, we don't. We see it as something else. And so that's how we actually reinterpret the structure of the CPU itself. So now we've got that idea. We've got a zero squared CPU. Let's go to a 0-3U CPU. And what we find is that the complexity of three intersecting ones, if you like, yeah, onto a zero point makes a slight difference to the equation. And so what you find here is that actually, you know, when you change one, you're just changing one fifth. And so obviously everything falls out of balance. And you can understand there are more options, aren't there? I'm not going to go through the details that too much, but one thing you could say is that what you get is like a plus three and a minus three. Let's draw it like this. Let's put a zero at the center and we get six triangular spaces, yeah? And so what we do is we're going to make a plus one, two, three, and that equally spaced with the minus one, two, three. We can do the same with the square plane. And now that gives you an idea about how the hexagonal structure of a CPU versus the square structure of a CPU and the potential power differentiation. So at the center point, everything equals zero still, doesn't it? Because the opposites equal the opposites that. We say that the zero squared function is a triangular function of number, the zero squared function is a square function of number where infinity stays the same in a square. If you think about it, you've got infinity going across, and then you've got infinity going up, yeah? And it's all the same line length, it's parallel lines, yeah? Or wherever you go. But when we move into the infinity of a triangle, it's slightly different, because the actual distance of that triangle, if you like, is converging towards a point, so if you think about the outer edge of the hexagon as being a distance between 0 and 1, as it converges towards 0, the other 0, so we're dividing that space, that reciprocal space, into infinitely small parts, and that's the view of the hexagonal 0-3 hexagonal chips. So what happens is we have like a divisor, yeah, of things going on in that space, whereas in the square we have more like a multiplier function where we're squaring infinity. So that gives you sort of differentiation between the mathematics between the two, and you can find out more about fourth dimensional mathematics on intoinfinity.com, obviously. So I hope that's cleared up a few points there. Now, last little thing was, how does that work with the pi function? So, you know, when we talk about ohms and we talk about pi, because we have decoded the pi into a quarter and a third, I think we've just come to the solution, haven't we, yeah? And that there's an E function. And the E function is actually the rotation of something through infinity. Yeah, see, if you think about E as like the composition of all the triangle numbers, it's squeezed into a tiny dot, and then you're just going to rotate that dot, yeah? And so as you rotate that E, that compressed triangle, yeah? So you can see, look, we get two triangles on the hexagonal chip, yeah, as we do that rotation, compared to the one quarter, that's 120 pi, isn't it, yeah? Which we can compare to one rotation on the So you've gone through two lines, if you think, one line across, one, two lines, yeah, so that would be a half rotation on the square plane. And so, so to a third, to a half and all of that business, that, you know, we've done the mathematics, haven't we, yeah, that can create that 120 pi, basically, yeah, because it's all on pi anyway, yeah, so we've already done pi, because we've rotated. This is called rotational squaring. You can take out some of that concept. We get into fourth-dimensional rotational squaring, then you can begin to understand, you know, that one rotational squaring function is actually one time space, and we're going to transmit a signal to another one, and that's our quantum function of communication, yeah, so there is a kind of logic to the mathematics when it comes to broadcasting signals. And so what we've got there is something we call broadcasting zero comes out of that, which is an uncrackable code. Yeah, it doesn't use RSA. All of that is very exciting stuff, you know, because RSA, in a sense, it's not an uncrackable thing. We crack it for blockchain technology, but quantum code is actually uncrackable. You can't crack it. That's the way it goes. You can't crack zero. Anyway, if anyone's interested in more of that stuff, we can talk more about quantum code. We do have a project called the Musiverse to explore this exciting new concept through the power of music, believe it or not. So anyway, that's all exciting stuff. It's called themusiverse.io. You can go and check that one out. And if you want to know more about fourth dimensional mathematics, pop your head over to intoinfinity.com. That's number two in there, not a into. It's number two, really. We're mathematicians, and that's the way it goes. We can't say the number into. We have to say two, the number two. Anyway, and then we are, and we'll be there with lots of updates on fourth dimensional mathematics and everything like that. Sign up to the mailing list and get involved. Thank you very much for listening. My name's been Colin Power from Into Infinity, and you guys have been awesome. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.